Kia ora.
Guten Tag.
Annaseyo. Bang up simnida.
Hola.
Uhana.
Ni hao.
Kia ora.
Hamilton is one of the fastest growing cities in Aotearoa. It's home to 190,000 people from over 170 different ethnicities. The New Wave podcast is on a mission to capture these unique stories, one person and one culture at a time. Join us for season one. This is The New Wave.
You're listening to The New Wave, a series profiling the diverse people of Kirikiriroa. I'm your host, Kate Prestige, and my guest today is scientist, traveller and podcaster Hannah Marks of Hannah Worldwide and Friends.
Hi, mein Name ist Johanna Marks und meine Freundin nennt mich Hannah. Ich komme aus Deutschland und lebe schon seit 7 Jahren in Neuseeland.
We're talking today with Hannah Marks, who's a scientist and a storyteller. She's the host of Hannah and Friends Worldwide, which is a podcast about people who've either had an abroad experience or, like Hannah herself, have left their home country. So the podcast started in 2023 and she's created over 60 episodes talking with interesting people about a huge range of experiences. So it's really intimidating but also really exciting to have Hannah as our final guest in Series 1 of The New Wave. So no mai, haere mai, Hannah, welcome.
Thank you so much. Hi.
I wanted to find out a little bit about your early life and your background.
I grew up in Neustrelitz. That's a relatively small town in Germany, in the north of Germany. It was, as said, a small town where everyone knows each other. And we had two big schools, or multiple schools, but for the area where I was in, two big schools that merged later on. So it felt like everyone in my age group from a certain level was at the same school. So lots of interactions, lots of people, you know. And yeah, it's just that vibe of a big village, really. And I loved it. My family then moved later on to a village nearby, which was like a 10-minute drive, just to have a little bit more of space and land, and they were able to build a house. So we moved there, I think, when I was 12. And then I experienced life on a village where you can't really escape. You have to wait until you have a driving license, which for us is when you are earliest 17, and then you have to drive with your parents for a year. So you are just fully able to drive by yourself with 18.
What were some of your strongest memories from childhood? Are there any things that really stick out to you, either from town or from the village or, yeah, school?
I think for me, I was a really shy, anxious child. I liked music. Like, we always had a hobby. We played a musical instrument and went to a sport. So my parents really took care of that we don't just run around without any purpose. And I think that really helped us and gave us good friends and kind of a community. I also grew up Catholic, so that type of community was there as well. So I had a lot of different areas that were an influence for me. And I just loved the nature as well. We went out to collect mushrooms. That was like such a normal thing, to have forest walks and just be in the nature, really, have bike rides with the whole family and go like ice skating on the lake, those kind of things.
In terms of the culture that you grew up with there in the particular part of Germany, you've described the outdoors and the nature and the way that you connected to that just as a natural everyday thing. Were there any foods or other traditions that have stayed with you or that you want to tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, so funny enough, I think everyone worldwide connects Germany with like pork knuckle and pretzel and all of this. And it's true, that's part of it, but that's mainly found in the south. And we like it too, but it's not something that we eat every day. We definitely love our sausages. And I guess all these things like sauerkraut, red cabbage, those things were normal for us to eat. But I think also there's like an influence from the East European countries where you have certain soups or like thicker soups where I don't even know how to call it in English, but just a lot of stuff like that where when you were poorer, and especially I grew up in the eastern side of Germany, so it was the poor side of Germany after the war.
Are you conscious of the differences between East and West in Germany even after the unification?
Yes. I wouldn't say growing up as a child I would have paid much attention, but because my parents have experienced it firsthand and they still told us stories about, oh, when I was younger this and this wasn't available, or when this and this happened. And still till this day, you can see that the salaries are not even around the country. The east side is still lower than the west side. Often what my parents would also say, or other people, we would call the eastern people Aussies and the western people Vessies. And you could tell sometimes people would judge based on that. Based on the look, say, oh, they're Vessies from the West, or they're Aussies. They look like cheaper clothes, or like just different.
So what made you leave this? I mean, you're beside these gorgeous lakes and you're in this lovely, you know, lovely part of the world. What brought you all the way over here to New Zealand, first of all? So what prompted you, I guess, first of all, to leave Germany? What was that about?
Starting from the beginning, growing up in a small town pretty much prepares you your whole life that you won't stay there. Because we didn't have a university or anything else there, we knew after school we would have to go somewhere to the bigger cities and move around. So that was kind of a mentality my mum really prepared us for as well, to be independent and to make sure that we are able to look after ourselves. And then after school, I moved to Berlin. Unfortunately, I did not get into the university I wanted first, because we have that system based off free university where you have to have good grades and then you get in first. And then it's kind of a system where if there's a spot, you can then go on. And my mom was like, you're not waiting around. You are doing something in between waiting. And then I decided to go to Berlin and do chemistry and biology as like a vocational training. And after that, I was like, well, I can now also earn money, so I don't necessarily need to go back to uni. And that's what I did. I moved to a different city. I moved to Greifswald, which is even more in the north, which is close to the Baltic Sea. And it's just 1.5 hours away from my hometown, really. And it was good enough for me because I loved coming back home, but also I liked my independence. So it was a great place. I found my first job there. It was a really good time. And I loved traveling. I just absolutely loved it. And my parents went traveling with us when we were like around 10. And we did trips overseas, mainly in Europe, but just in general, the excitement of going on an airplane and just having a holiday and seeing the differences of countries, meeting people from different countries. So I loved all of this, but I was, again, still quite shy and scared and didn't quite know what to do. But the people around me really influenced me as well. So I had friends that really took that gap year after school and went abroad as an au pair. And I was still not in that space where I could have done it, or I thought I couldn't have done it. But then over the years, traveling more, having friends from different countries through my travels and connecting, it all felt like less scary. The world seemed less big. And one of my friends I still really remember, she was younger, or she is younger than me, but she went abroad to do an au pair year with disabled and autistic children. So really cool.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, what actually stops me from doing it myself? Why am I so afraid to just go? And I had this really strong feeling of I need to have that experience for myself to grow personally as well. So that was when the idea started that I need to go somewhere where I don't speak the language, preferably English because we learned it a little bit at school, where I can then improve my English, just really have that challenge of living by myself without anyone around me who can help me. And that was probably my main driver, yeah.
So how did you find out about Hamilton and what had you heard?
So I did not really know many people that were coming to New Zealand before me. I had one friend that did an Australian year and then traveled a little bit in New Zealand as well. But I haven't really had many other friends going. One of my colleagues said, New Zealand is her favorite country because it has everything. It has mountains, oceans, jungles, just everything. And she thinks it's amazing. And that was probably when that seed got planted and I was considering it. But I was open to actually move to even New York, Boston, Switzerland. I had different ideas. At one point, Australia was on the cards, or even Miami. So I was open for opportunities to present themselves. And I just looked online for jobs because for me it was more of an idea of I want to go there to live there, experience it like a proper experience with working, living, and not just like traveling around. So as a technician, you still have a perk of being able to do the work. And that's what most people wanted. And in New Zealand, and especially in Hamilton, at that time, there were quite a few technician positions. In that moment, I was like, okay, this could be something that I could at least try. And I already applied and I got an interview. And I think because I had the qualification that they really needed, because I was working in a honeybee research lab, and they wanted to start a new process with a bee disease and honey, I would have been a really good fit. But because I didn't have any visa for that, I didn't have a resident visa. I didn't even have a normal visa. I had no visa. So they were pretty much telling me, we can't take you now because we need someone immediately. But if you still consider coming to New Zealand, please just let us know. And that was the moment where I realized I will not find a job in any other country without a visa, and I won't get a visa without a job.
And you had that invitation from the workplace to get back in touch, which was great.
Exactly. That was my ticket.
So when you got over here, you had that. You had your colleague who said it's a beautiful country and it's this and it's this, but of course the reality is always a little bit different. But what were some of the biggest differences that you noticed culturally or socially or just in everyday life when you actually got here and sort of started to settle in a bit?
I feel like I did not have a massive culture shock because for me, the people were really, really open and friendly, and I just loved that. And not that Germans are well known for being so open and friendly, especially when I then go back home, there is a difference. but in that case, I just felt like home really quickly. And the people that I met in the hostels already, I made friends already. I traveled around with people already. So I never really felt like it's a completely different world. Some things were weird to me, like some things seemed a little bit inefficient sometimes, where that was maybe something I've noticed in certain aspects where I would think that wouldn't happen at home, like someone would not stand there. I remember, I think it was on South Island, there was a grocery store, and I'm not sure if it was Countdown or Pack and Save, but there was one person taking the items to scan and the other person stood there to pack it in your bag. And we were just so confused. We were like, why would you need two people for that job? I mean, it's great that you have it, but that would not happen back home, I feel. Like that would be instantly cut. So the reason why I actually ended up in Hamilton was mainly because of the contact with the job. But because I did not have the job offer or anything around it apart from, hey, when you're here, come and visit, I had to set up my life first in Auckland. So my first on arrival, my first destination was a hostel called Verandas in Auckland, which I loved. It was like my home base. And every time I went somewhere, I would come back to this place. And it was great. Lovely people. And you met already, like I met already some, and they would also come back. So it felt a bit like home. But I think I emailed them and asked if I could go and meet them maybe a week after I arrived. I feel like I might have been a week in Auckland, and then went with a bus to Hamilton. I booked an Airbnb near the area where the work was. That was interesting because I arrived at the uni and I remember thinking, I have no idea where to go, but it's beautiful. And I took a photo and sent it on my Instagram story at one point saying, who doesn't want to study here? Because it, I just thought it looks beautiful with like the greenery and the lakes. So that was one moment of, wow, it's beautiful. And then what I also loved, which is also different, we have a lot of double-story houses or even more back home. Lots of apartments. But actually having an area where it's mainly one-story house, like the rural family areas, I really liked that as well. It kind of reminded me of a movie, and I just felt like I wanted to live in an area like that. And I walked into that area for the Airbnb accommodation. And I remember the day after, probably, I then walked to the workplace and had a meeting with them. And in my head, I met two guys from Germany in the hostel, and they wanted to travel to South Island. And in my head, I was like, it would be so cool if I could first go to the South and then come back and then work for them. But I felt a bit rude because I was like, who am I to come and ask for something like this? But in my mind, I was like, that would be best case scenario. So I went there. They were so lovely, so lovely.
So you've now lived in Hamilton for 7 years. How did you begin to build your life here and start connecting with people and building life at work and outside of work?
Right. So it was helpful that in New Zealand, it's kind of normal to flat with people. Even though I was living by myself in Germany for all the time after moving out. But I think that's really helpful for internationals because they can meet people instantly. Often they are young people as well. And I remember I went back to my hostel in Auckland and I had to suss out an apartment or like accommodation. And I was, I think, really lucky because other people would probably think I'm crazy, but I just saw it online. It was an apartment or like a new townhouse with 4 rooms or 5 rooms. And it was new build. And without even looking at it, I just asked them if I can come and have a look and move in pretty much. And they were like, yep, you can come on that day. And that was the day where I had to move in because I had no other place to stay, nothing else sorted. So I was like, that's it. That's the one or nothing. So, yeah, I drove with my new bought car, which was scary because I usually don't drive often on the left side. So first time by myself driving on the left side with my new little mini car. And I saw the apartment. There were some initial issues because I wasn't able to pick up the amount of money that I needed for the bond because my bank was just setting it to a certain amount. So it was a little bit tricky at that time, but we sorted it out. And then it was, it had a bed and a small bathroom and suite as well. But nothing was there in the house. It was completely new. No cutlery, no kitchen utilities, nothing. no bed sheets. So I was then having finally found a place to stay, but then not knowing where to get all the stuff, what do I need to do? So that was my first time I actually cried and called my mom and was like, oh my God, it's so overwhelming. But then I just slowly went to warehouse, bought everything I needed, had a big trolley full of stuff. Later on learned that the landlord was supposed to actually have all of that already, at least the kitchen stuff. But I didn't know at that time. And then shortly after, a Kiwi guy moved in, and we are still friends as well. A French couple moved in, and then another guy. So we became friends relatively quickly, started hanging out after work as well. But then I really put myself out there at work, because in my mind I was like, I need friends. I'm not a person to be on my own. And the only way is to actually be the first one to say hi. And that's what I did. First day at work, I sat in the tea room and I read some manuals, like instructions and stuff. And everyone who came in, I was like, hi, I'm Hannah, who are you? And that's how I kind of just forced myself to be open, smile. I think naturally smile anyway. But I think for some people that was a bit strange. But for me, that was the only way of actually figuring out, is there anyone who I can connect with? And yeah, that's what happened. My team was great. The girls I still am really close with. We are good friends now. And I just really build up a lot of friends at work. And then the people I had at home, friends of friends. So yeah, I was really fortunate.
So how do you stay connected? We talked about the fact you've been in New Zealand about, you know, 7 years now. How do you stay connected to home, and what do you miss about home?
I miss, first and foremost, of course, family and friends. And yeah, that is the tricky bit. But I would say I'm really fortunate that I built really strong friendships over the 27 years. Well, a bit later, but just the time that I've been growing up in Germany. And all of those friendships, it never really felt like me leaving would be a loss. We still stay in touch every time I go over, which I do frequently, even though it's expensive. Every time I go over, we try to make it work to catch up at least for a little bit, which is hard, I have to admit, because now when I go over, I have maybe an hour, maybe half a day, but not enough time to actually build new memories with my friends, which sometimes is one of the hardest things. But I stay in touch with my mom. I talk a lot with her. For her, it's important as well. And I have a half-sister now. I have a stepbrother now. So it's just to make sure for me that family is still a really, really big part. And I think I will also never not be that German girl.
When we're thinking about where you are now, tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing, and also about some of your other work. So particularly, you're creating this cool podcast. So I'd love you to tell us a little bit about just your life now and what you're doing for work, and a little bit about your podcast.
My work at the moment, so I have left that job that I first had a few years ago. I was there for 4.5 years and then decided that I needed a change. And I am now with LIC, which is a big livestock improvement company, and lots of different aspects of the company with artificial breeding, diagnostic testing for animal health, and that's kind of where I am at. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm still kind of connected to science, even though sometimes I wish I would be a little bit more involved again. But then also I have started creating a community through that podcast as well, in the creative spaces. And I love creativity. I grew up writing poems for myself and writing poems for my family. And I loved drawing. I loved music. Like, I always felt like, and loved singing. I always needed that kind of creativity in my life. And when I thought about a hobby or how I want to kind of express myself, I did a course in Auckland, which was for voice acting. And I realized quickly I have no talent for that. I would have to work really hard to actually be really good at it, which is not impossible. But I wasn't really willing to put this much effort and money and time into it. And it was kind of opening the doors for my podcast journey. And because of my workplace, so many internationals and also lots of immigrants. And I became friends with them. And so I thought I'd start interviewing my friends. And I think the idea already started a little bit while I was traveling from hostel to hostel, because the stories I've heard from people there and the reasons why they were in New Zealand traveling, leaving their country, really sometimes crazy and so incredible, breathtaking, sad, like so many different reasons and stories. And I just found it fascinating. And so I thought if I find it fascinating, maybe other people find it fascinating too. And that's pretty much when Hannah Worldwide and Friends was born.
It's a great invitation to people having the podcast and being able to say, hey, that's cool, do you want to have a chat with me?
So,
Is exactly what, of course, we did to Hannah together for this podcast. So Hamilton, we live here, so we know it, but Hamilton doesn't always get the best reputation. So sometimes people will ask the question, why Hamilton?
I get this question all the time from everywhere. And funny enough, I think the reputation was there years ago, but now it's actually becoming a really nice city that people look forward to living in. It's so central. I can go to so many places in 1.5 hours. Rotorua, Tauranga, even like Coromandel is not that far away. For me, just all I need. And every time someone asked, I was like, why not? It reminds me on a small town, which I'm not a big city person at all.
What would you say to someone who's thinking of making the same journey as you?
I am always supporting that, always, because I would never regret that. That was the best thing I could have done for my life, for my personality, personal growth, how I feel about myself, confidence. I wouldn't say I'm super confident, even though I really like myself. I know, like, I like what person I have become. I like my personality. I'm friendly. So I'm kind of really safe in who I am. But that was a long journey as well. And coming to New Zealand definitely helped me doing that big step of moving abroad by myself. And if anyone ever asks, I would always say yes. Just do it. It's probably the best thing you can do for your life, really.
It's great that you can look back now on the girl that was crying because she didn't have cutlery. And because that's true. I did the same scrubbing potatoes in country New South Wales because the dirt was red. And I remember scrubbing these potatoes to feed, you know, the kids. Yeah. And there was this red dirt and I hated it because it was, I was so homesick. And it was like, and it was like clay. It was just this, you know. Mm. But it doesn't take much. It can be the simplest little thing. That was a big thing for you.
Yeah.
Looking back, what are you most proud of?
I think there were a couple of people back home because I left at the time when my parents separated. And some people thought that was the reason why I left. And one person even said, it's a mistake and you will run back crying and you won't make it. And the fact that I'm still here, not to prove to anyone that I can do it, but because I really did it for myself and I love living here and I love the people and I feel like home here too. That's probably what I'm proud of as well, that I had to figure it out myself, and I can be lazy. I can be like, oh, can you help me with that? Can you do it? But if you can't ask anyone, even though there's always someone you can ask, to be fair, to do it yourself, that's probably where I'm like, okay, I'm proud that I was able to be myself in some aspects, but also change who I was. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing just a glimpse into your story, and particularly thinking about reflecting back on your childhood and talking through some of the challenges that you had. If people want to find out more about your podcast, and why wouldn't they, just give us the title again and where people can find it.
Right. You can find Hannah Worldwide and Friends pretty much everywhere. It has its own website, on Instagram, if on YouTube.
And that's, you're looking for Hannah, H-A-N-N-A. Worldwide and
yes.
Friends. Oh, Hannah Marks, thank you so much for joining us for the episode 8 of the New Wave podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to The New Wave. That was Hannah's story, featuring Hannah Marks from Germany. The New Wave is a diversity storytelling project by Wintec School of Media Arts researchers Kate Prestige and Paul Nelson. This podcast is made with the support of community access media station Free FM 89. If you'd like to know more about the project or get involved, check the show notes for more information.